I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
This year's tax refund is your ticket to clear vision. Instead of letting your refund disappear into everyday expenses, invest in something life-changing like LASIK. Using refund dollars to pay for LASIK is a smart, long-term investment that saves you money on a lifetime of vision care costs. Enjoy the freedom of clear vision for years to come. Contact Revision LASIK and Cataract Surgery to schedule a complimentary LASIK consultation. Go to revisioneyes.com.
A bold approach to engineering. At Bowling Green State University, our engineering degrees fuse the science of traditional engineering with technology and hands-on skills. This combination is what employers are looking for in the up-and-coming fields of robotics, advanced manufacturing, and systems engineering. It's why our graduates find jobs and why BGSU stands out. Don't just get a degree. Secure your future at BGSU.
Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
It's interesting. Frostburg brought up one of the other things. We've been talking a lot about Tony Romo, the memes
Jim,
there.
Jim.
Your
Jim,
guy, Boeheim.
Jim.
And then because of my Chicago ties, the number of people I follow, the algorithms go through. One, Patrick Mahomes' dad doing radio in Chicago going, yeah, the Bears promised that we were going to draft him.
Uh-huh.
She got that going for me.
That was actually Warren Sapp.
And then there were a lot.
That's Bears GM Warren Sapp, okay? Put some respect on that.
You got to put that title
respect
there.
Respect that.
And then obviously the Lori Lightfoot, the mayor dancing in the streets and everybody just picking up each and every one of millions of problems going on in Chicago.
A lot of fist pumps.
Not even about the Bears and the stadium. No, all these very serious things going on in the city of Chicago with her dancing. Kind of like the Jimmy Garoppolo smiling memes that were going around yesterday.
Cincinnati mayor's like, whew, they're stopping talking about me now. That's good. Okay.
There's stuff all over.
I passed that
fortunately,
on.
I got 2.5 years till re-election. I really thought this was going to be able to carry me next time if they would have gone through.
Usually, what a jabroni.
Usually you hear Cincinnati mayor and you think, oh, what did Jerry Springer do now?
Jerry!
What did
Jerry.
He do? No. The new mayor of Cincinnati. Look, we'll get back into
some folks might not remember that, though, that Jerry Springer was in fact.
People know that. Like, they know, hey, did you know the Kelce brothers are going to be playing against each other in the Super Bowl? Wow.
Whoa.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. Did you
They're
know
brothers?
That? Yes. Already, like 5 minutes after the games ended yesterday, it was, here are the storylines we're going to get tired of. Like, somebody had it ready, and I'm reading going, I'm already tired
I'm
of these storylines.
And Andy Reid, but it's I'm funny, done. The chronology of Andy Reid begins with the kick, pass, and bunt competition.
Oh, you know we're going to see that video.
At least
yes.
twice in yes. the pregame.
You know, Andy Reid coached the Eagles.
No.
And now he coaches the Chiefs. I don't know if you know that or not.
I got another one you may not know.
Go ahead. What's that?
Did you know he went to high school with Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw?
Now, that would be the greatest of twists.
He did grow up in L.A.
He did. That's true. He did. He did. And then who is it, the high school teammates who were playing against A.J. Brown, right,
and somebody else? And Zach Wilson's mom.
Wow. All these, get ready for these storylines from the Super Bowl. Get ready.
Especially get ready. The Zach Wilson mom.
Zach Wilson's mom actually went to high school with Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, it's Willie Gay and A.J.
Willie Gay and A.J. Brown. Yeah, there you go. Storylines we can. So we'll have more from Burrowhead coming up in a little bit. But coming off the NFC title game, remember, I told you before the season the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, and here they are.
Yeah.
It's the first. The Chiefs.
It's the first. I know, so we're good. We're good. But the Eagles is a much better prediction than the Chiefs. The Chiefs are, hey, they're going to be really good.
But they don't have Tyreek Hill. They're going to suck. And look at the division. They're not going to be able to get out of the division alive. Look at it's Russell Wilson. And look at the Raiders. The Raiders are better.
The refs did help
And look
them,
at
Mike.
The Chargers.
The refs helped them a lot. The refs helped them a lot.
Your prediction was good. Mine just happened to be next level because it was the Eagles, which nobody was talking about. So it was good.
Really?
We
nobody?
Were both good. Nobody. Who else predicted the Eagles besides me? Nobody.
I mean, a lot of people had Jalen Hurts for MVP.
Right. I told you, Jalen Hurts MVP, Eagles going to the Super Bowl.
Mike, wasn't he like plus 200 at the beginning of the season?
I forget what his odds were.
I don't know what I'm more happy about. The fact that the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, or because they're in the Super Bowl, I could do my Philadelphia accent now for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be wonderful.
2 weeks?
We're back in it. Yeah. You see, they tried to come in and put that shirt on the Rocky statue. And we sent them back to San Francisco. They didn't even have a quarterback to play. I didn't even know it was happening. I thought Steve Young was going to play, or Jeff Garcia. I didn't know who else is on the roster. Maybe Ken Dorsey. I know he's an OC, but now maybe he can back on the roster and play. Giovanni Carmazzi, maybe they have him play.
I'd rather hear Tony Romo right about now.
Jim, did you know a guy does a Philadelphia accent on the radio, and it sounds like it's deep Delaware? Jim.
Now, if Romo could pull off that accent, how great would that be?
I don't know. I think my head would explode if I tried to do Tony Romo
in
a Philadelphia accent with his energy.
Scanners comes to Fox Sports Radio. They haven't read that
I would
that
pay to
yet.
See some steam right about now.
Jim, before the season.
Hey, Jim, did you see that Wiz Wit, Jim, or Wiz Wit out? Did you see that? It was huge, Jim. Jim, that was huge, Wiz Wit. You know, they film Mayor of Easttown, like, right near here. And you know what's east of here? Philadelphia. You know who's going to the Super Bowl? It's Philadelphia, Jim. It's going there. I can tell the story about Michael Jordan, but I'd rather tell one about Charles Barkley, because he actually played here, Jim. Wiz without Jim.
I hate you.
Oh, I tell you, Jim, you know, this Rocky statue, Rocky's not a real person. This is from an actual movie. I just found that out. That in Burrowhead. I didn't know what either of those things were. But this Rocky, I thought this was a great boxer, but it's actually a fake one. And they made all kinds of movies about the guy. I watched them all last night when I should have been prepping for the game.
You know, Tony, I really appreciate you bringing up that Rocky analogy.
Jim.
The Russian Drago was beating on Apollo Creed in the NFC game.
Jim.
In the NFC game, it felt like Sylvester Stallone should have thrown the towel.
Jim, that was so huge, Jim. Jim, that was huge. When he cut the Russian in four, like, no one's expecting it, right? Because, like, oh, here's Ivan Drago, and he's with Brigitte Nielsen, who's actually with Sylvester Stallone. The whole big thing. And now he cuts him, and you think he can actually win the fight. It's unbelievable. Jim, that was huge, Jim. Jim, it was huge.
Tony, you didn't even pay attention. I was telling you about the fight that started it.
It was
that
huge.
That started the war.
And then
when Rocky wouldn't throw the towel, and then if he dies, he dies.
Yeah.
Do you remember it, Tony?
Yeah, Jim. But now they have these new movies, right? And Killmonger is in them. And he's actually a boxer, too.
Boy.
Jim, it's huge, Jim.
This guy,
he was in The Wire. He was in Friday Night Lights. He's in all these great things.
You know what? Our guy, Alex Teicher, would be very excited about some of the comments from Michael B. Jordan about how he put this movie together, saying he drew and he was inspired in the fight scenes by anime.
But, Jim, that's where I wanted to tell that Michael Jordan story. I went all the way around to it. All the way around from Michael B. Jordan to tell this Michael Jordan Dream Team store, but now it's ruined. I can't forget it, Jim, and that's huge. It's huge, Jim. It's huge.
I think I'm going to cut your Achilles, Tony.
Burrowhead my ass, Tony.
That would be great, Jim Nexus. I'm going to cut your Achilles, Tony. How about that?
I think I've had enough of you. Don't follow me out.
Oh, but with the Eagles, remember, I told you, Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. With the Niners now, and the big news today that Brock Purdy has a UCL injury, may need Tommy John surgery after getting crunched in the
first quarter yesterday. Arm is pretty messed up, TJ. He's going to be out at least 6 months, whether he gets the surgery or not, which takes you all the way till August. So you're going all the way into August where what's going to happen? And now you're going to see the people stand up and go, hey, Tom Brady. I understand in theory where that sounds great, right? Because Brady comes in, he doesn't get hurt, and you believe in him for a bounce back year. Brock Purdy is hurt. He might wind up being pretty good, but okay, Brock Purdy can sit and see a season and watch. You don't know what you have in Trey Lance, but can you trust him to come back and be healthy? The guys played quarterback in a while. So yeah, I can see where in theory you would say, all right, let's clear the decks and let's bring in Tom Brady. But look at the game yesterday, and you could tell right away that the Eagles are a different animal than anybody the 49ers played going into this, right? And Purdy's played a couple of pretty good teams, and he's played pretty well. But you're talking about saying, okay, let's shunt Purdy and Lance to the side and bring in Tom Brady, who has shown you one thing, no matter what you want to talk about him going in. He is not someone that can escape pressure. Right, he used to be able to escape pressure a little bit, buy a little bit of time, get the football downfield. He is not that guy anymore. And against more athletic defenses, we saw this year that he had trouble. He's in the pocket. He's a target. And that's not going to just automatically get it done for the 49ers. There are certain fits for the Niners that would be great. What they should do is they should just, hey, we've made it to back-to-back NFC championship games with two different quarterbacks. Our team is pretty good. All right, we don't need to get out there and say, hey, let's blow it up and start over. If we have Brock Purdy and Trey Lance battling it out next year, that's the best thing for us because we want to see if either of these guys can be great. We got to see Trey Lance before his contract ends, and we want to see more of Brock Purdy. So you're going to go get Tom Brady, who coming in is not going to help you against those athletic defenses. You're not going to get the ball downfield. You're not going to be able to get up and down and get big chunk yardage. Even though you have great playmakers around you, he's not that dynamic anymore. There's certain teams where he does fit, right? I'm not saying there isn't. There's certain teams where he does fit. But his big play is going to be dump it out of the backfield to Christian McCaffrey, and he can't do that all the time. The game yesterday should have showed you that what the 49ers need more than anything is they need a guy that's mobile, that can get outside of the pocket, that can create plays, right? That's where the league is trending, where things can happen. Jimmy Garoppolo's a guy, could get outside and make plays with his legs a little bit and keep plays alive. Brady's not that guy. Brady's going to stand back in the pocket, and I need time, and I need an elite offensive line. I need five Pro Bowl guys if I'm going to play well. And that's a difficult thing to do. And so to bring in Tom Brady, I don't think is the answer everybody thinks it is. And you just decide to discount what Brock Purdy's done the last 8 weeks. So the guy was Tom Brady until he got hurt. Not like he had a bad game. Not like he went 2-for-18 throwing the football. The guy got hurt. But what you saw from for the 8 weeks leading up to it and a playoff win, yeah, I think he's earned enough to say, hey, between him and Trey Lance, we have the quarterback position covered next year, because either of these guys could get us back to the NFC title game because we have everything else we need. What did Brock Purdy bring the team? He brought a team. He's got escapability and keeping the plays alive, right? That's what he did. That's what Trey Lance has, and that's what makes that offense go. You bring in Tom Brady, suddenly things get really different, and the offense gets much more stagnant.
Well, we put up a giant asterisk next to what's going on with Brock Purdy. What's the extent of this injury in terms of rehab? Is he truly going to be available, or is this one that's going to sideline him for a good chunk of 2023? Because if that's the case, and going to the theory of we need three guys around, see what I did there?
We need that
third quarterback? Because you have no idea what Trey Lance is. Physically and as a quarterback, we've chronicled this, we've talked about this as much as anything else. He's had one season of football since high school. Looked pretty good at times. Obviously, it was enough to get him to a lofty draft slot, but to this point, you got a team that is ready to be in the mix to win the conference and get to the Super Bowl now. How long does that window stay open with the weapons that you have at your disposal? Right? Because McCaffrey was a guy, if he would have stayed in Carolina, the big question was, how long before he gets hurt? All right, he got through the year. You still had some questions before game time of this one. Right, as to what is availability, and he had a run for the ages that's gotten lost in all of the controversies. But the point being that he's a guy that, as a running back, you don't know what the shelf life is and where he is on that cliff that we see so frequently. Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, both guys that have had their injuries. George Kittle, we've chronicled it. When he's on the field, the only guy better is Kelsey at the position. But he's had injury issues of his own. You look at the offensive line, just keep going down position for position where you're going to need to pay guys or where guys are going to age out. So bringing in Brady as the stopgap for a year or two isn't the worst of scenarios. Jimmy Garoppolo, you going to trust him? There's another guy.
But he can't stay healthy.
But that's my point. You know, are we going to piece it together where it's like, I'm hoping to get seven out of you, and you give me three at the back end.
Not even the nine. Hey, we're going to go four deep. Our quarterback is going to go Brady, and then Garoppolo, and then it's Purdy, and then it's Lance. We're going to have these are our top four guys.
We at least know this. Brady keeps coming back. It's a damn cyborg.
It's pretty simple. You have to see Trey Lance, right? You've gotten to two NFC championship games, but you have not seen him. So you got to see him. You got to see Brock Purdy.
You're so much more enamored with the idea of seeing Trey Lance than I am.
Tom Brady, well, number one, he's our dynasty quarterback. We need to see him. Number two, Brady, I never thought I'd say this about him, but he'd be a progress stopper with San Francisco. You don't know how the game would have went yesterday if Purdy stays healthy. He'd beaten everybody, right? Maybe suddenly that's a game that's a game, and sure. Purdy doesn't. But he got hurt, which I get it. It sucks because you not only did you not win the game, you didn't get to see him on the biggest stage to see, okay, this guy can be our quarterback long term. But you got to see these guys play, and Brady would stop that progress. And would he be better off? I don't know, man. A guy just sitting in the pocket waiting to get hit by elite defenses. I don't know that that's what the Niners need. They have weapons that need to be able to get the football, and it needs to be quarterbacks that can get them the ball. And when they're under duress, they're not going to do it. So the fact that Purdy and Lance both have that escapability, they're better fits for what the 49ers want to do.
In theory, all of that is great. Show me them healthy. Especially Purdy now. I have no idea what that surgery is going to be.
Tommy John surgery. Yeah. Yeah.
He might not be available to you. And Trey Lance is a myth. He's an idea. He's a whisper, a hint, a dream.
He's phenomenal, Jim.
Jim, did you know Trey Lance is on this team? I didn't know that, Jim. Jim, Trey Lance is on the 49ers. I did not know that. Did you know, Jim, he hasn't played football since 2011, and he's a rookie? I did not know that,
Jim. That was the same year Nickelback played the Thanksgiving game between the Packers and the Lions.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time.
I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Papi.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
I can't tell you the crush I had on China Phillips in the 90s.
Oh, what about Captain Phillips?
I am the captain now. Did you do that strut walking around the beach?
Like
the three of them as they're strolling?
Oh, I thought she was going to be an absolute super-duper star. I really did. And then she, like, quit and said, I'm married to Billy Baldwin, I'm having kids, and I'm a mom now. It's like, you are going to be a superstar.
So I thought Billy Baldwin was going to be a superstar,
well,
too.
Yeah, it happened. Yeah,
it's kind of a big deal.
That's true. It did. Yeah, it did. Yeah. No, you're right.
Go back to the Fire movie. I mean, come on, man.
You mean Backdraft?
Yes.
The Fire movie.
I knew exactly.
That's like Jerry Jones. Hey, what's a movie I saw when they were all firemen? And
I got exactly the response I wanted.
There's that kind of steamy scene on top of the fire engine, and then the fire engine goes out to put the fire out, but fire was still rolling on top of the fire engine. I'll tell you that much.
He was evidently in Backdraft too.
Jerry
in
Jones?
2019.
Jones was in Backdraft too?
No, William
was
Baldwin.
Was he the guy they went to visit, like they went to visit Donald Sutherland? Did the fire look at you? Did Dez look at you? What about Staubach? Hey, I've been here for a while. Can you tell me how the Cowboys did? They've been doing. I don't get a newspaper anymore. Oh, they don't print newspapers anymore? Oh, okay.
What have been a weird twist?
2019. Okay.
The Cowboys, instead of Mike McCarthy calling plays, they bring back Jason Garrett. As coordinator.
No, this is what's happening. It's Jerry Jones is going to call the plays into Mike McCarthy's headset.
Good. I like that.
Let's run Pollard here. Jerry, he's not active. Doesn't matter. Let's run him. Let's run Pollard. We don't. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to run a pass. Or a pass play. Throw it deep to Dez. I'm sorry. We can't. Can someone turn this? Can someone turn this off?
Don't forget Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And Squid and the Whale, Billy Baldwin.
With Cindy Crawford when she was going to be an action star.
You know, you say this, and speaking of Cindy, like we haven't got a chance to mention this for a couple minutes tonight, but absolute legend we lost tonight. Cindy Williams, star of Laverne and Shirley, playing Shirley Feeney, and then later on Shirley Feeney Meany, passed away at the age of 75. Michael McKean is the only living cast member of
the
show.
Wait, the Big Ragu's not with us anymore?
No, Eddie Mecca died a couple of years ago.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah, he's the only one left now. And this show, I mean, look, you've probably seen reruns of it. You've heard about it. You've heard stories about them and how the two of them didn't get along, and it's just, it was rock and roll of the 70s. And this is, you know, this is what it was like in Hollywood. And Cindy Williams was just a perfect foil. They were perfect foils for each other. And the show was incredibly funny. It was a groundbreaking show starring two women living on their own in the big city. In Milwaukee was the
big
city.
In the big city.
They'd been a basement apartment in Milwaukee. And you didn't get a lot of shows like that.
Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You didn't get a lot of shows. We got Milk and Pepsi from that show. You know, Laverne having L's on all her jerks. And it was a really groundbreaking show. And the shocker of it was is that Cindy Williams was a huge movie star before that happened. Like, she did American Graffiti, she did The Conversation, and she had big roles in these movies. Like, well, she's going to be a big movie star. Talking about, you know, trying to film, she was going to be a big movie star, and she didn't want to do it, and then she had to be convinced to take the gig, and of course, you know, she became an absolute comedic and television legend. But she could have been this huge movie. She was auditioning for, like, Star Wars and movies like that. Like, she could have potentially gone one way with her career, but now she goes, and she becomes someone who's synonymous with comedy and being a trailblazer.
She was in Bingo.
Like, she was at a bingo game you're at, or what? Like,
a movie about a dog.
The voice of Bingo, the dog movie, Bingo.
Okay, I don't know.
Circus dog, nonetheless.
But I did not know that. I did not know that. Cindy Williams, 75. She was.
Mm. It's a good run, though. I mean, she had a long list of credits, and to be known as for that iconic role in a show that is forever in syndication.
Yeah, you're gonna see Laverne and Shirley forever.
Yeah. Mm.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the TireRack.com studios. Now, look, we're still buzzing over what happened at Burrowhead yesterday between the Bengals and the Chiefs, but all the attention is on this play, the play that set up the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl.
In Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator, you got a busted play. Sanchez gets hit, the ball is loose, and it's alive.
Yeah,
Jim, what do you think?
See
Jim.
How excited, though, he was at my call? What
Jim,
happened to you?
Jim, did you know that was a butt fumble, Jim? Jim, did you know that, Jim? Jim. Although, no, he wouldn't have done that game. He wouldn't have. It's Collinsworth and Al Michaels.
But look how it's animated Al Michaels is then.
Yeah. Boy, okay. What do you think? Wait a minute. We got to do this. Hang on. Think about this.
You're going to get us canceled,
you
man.
You all know what I'm going to say. What if you could do this? How great would this be? You made Al Michaels
stop a mic.
Work Thursday night football with Tony Romo.
I thought you were going to throw Berman in. No. So you had the three.
You make Al Michaels do these craptastic Thursday night football games with Tony Romo. You can't even keep a straight face. Michaels, he's the guy that would walk out of the booth and go, "I just quit. It's not worth it. I can't watch this bad football. I can't do it."
Jim. Stop calling me Jim.
I'm Al. I know, Al, but I have Jim Al. Next to me. I have Jim
Al.
Next to me.
Al, they've punted on 7 executive possessions. Think they'll do it again?
Call me Jim one more time.
I will stick this microphone through the back of your head.
Hey, Tony, do you believe in miracles?
Keep Nance's name out your mouth.
Hey, was that you on that call? Oh, that call was huge. That was huge. That was you on the Miracles call? I didn't know you were that old. Oh, that call was so huge. Oh, that was huge.
Back when you cared, Al.
That was so huge. And I know you kind of sound elitist because you're like, oh, all this bad football on Thursday nights, like you're not getting paid all kinds of money to do it. But boy, and you want to complain about the games you're doing. Like, oh, you're sitting through this for America. Oh, I love that, Jim. Sorry, I keep calling you Jim. I'm sorry. I'm just so excited because we've had 11 punts in a row, and I just love watching punts. Sometimes we're watching teams punt on second down because they know they're just not going to get there. It's so exciting to watch the Titans, and they play the Jags on Thursday night. It's so great. All right. So we need to do that. Just imagine Al Michaels. Put Al Michaels.
Did you see your boy who actually was back? Countdown was back for a night.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah, I didn't watch.
Then Brock Purdy getting hurt, and what can you do? You don't get a lot of nicknames.
His arm is pretty messed up.
Brock Lesnar was part of the Royal Rumble on Saturday.
TJ.
On Sunday, Brock Purdy.
Like John Mellencamp taught us in 1983, sometimes it does hurts so good. Now, into the Super Bowl, TJ. Now, here's the real play that sent the Kansas City Chiefs to the Super Bowl.
Mahomes waits for the shotgun snap. Two receivers out to each side. Mahomes with a
someone's
deep drop.
Someone's going to yell no.
Moving in the pocket.
Just wait for
running
it.
To the right and
wait
running well.
Wait
he's at
it.
The 50.
Wait
he's
it.
Trying to run for the first down. He goes out of bounds. And the Bengals
no!
push him after
no!
he was out of bounds. Multiple
players
are going to tack 15 yards onto this play. Eight seconds left in regulation.
No.
And with that penalty,
no.
the Chiefs will be in field goal
no.
range.
Man, you have to be more aware.
No.
This football team has got a lot of awareness.
No.
Not on that play.
No.
Personal foul, unnecessary roughness,
no.
defense, number 58. The penalty is 15 yards from the end of the play. Automatic first down.
Joseph Asai has to know where he is on the football field. Has to know where the quarterback is on the football
Bengals
field.
Bengals radio great network hustle. On the call right there. No. Don't think I missed you doing that Nightmare on Elm Street, What a Rush, Freddy Krueger.
Well,
right
I was kind of stealing
that.
The old
when
Road
he had all
Warriors,
the needles.
Actually.
He had all the needles on his hand. Look, there's been, since this play has happened, there's been a lot of excuses made. You didn't need to throw the flag. It was ridiculous. The
rigged.
Officials made themselves part of the game. Yeah. Anytime rigged is trending, I go, okay, true. LeBron either got fouled and didn't get called or something happened.
Well,
in the
that
NFL.
Did happen Saturday night.
Did,
don't get me
did.
Started.
He's still mad about
sprint
it.
Sprint around like a child. And then, you know what? I'm going to punish you all. You will not get to see me play against the Brooklyn Nets because you did not call that foul.
But he's dropping 75 tomorrow on the Knicks.
Yeah. But you can't do that because then it screws up that whole matchup against the Bucks.
No.
He won't kill the Knicks. You get the Knicks.
He wants to catch Kareem tomorrow night. He wants all his points.
140 against the Knicks.
He wants them all tomorrow night. So I've heard a lot of this today, and it's just that's hot take nonsense. Okay. Yes. Am I thrilled that the game was decided by an official's flag? No. I never want the games to be decided by an official's flag. But this was a penalty. He was two steps out of bounds, and Joseph Osai hit him. There's no way to cut it up any more than right. that, right? He was on the white part of the sideline. Did he flop a little bit? Yeah. But Joseph Osai was running at him, getting the elbow in the back. That's going to get called all the time. You know how I know it's a penalty? Because the Bengals announcers knew it was a penalty, and the announcers knew it was a penalty doing the game, and everybody watching at home knew it was a penalty. And after the game, none of the Bengals said, how do you throw a flag there? All the Bengals players said was, how do you hit the quarterback? That was there. They knew it. Everybody knew it was a penalty. Anybody saying it's not is just trying to make it up. I feel bad that that happened, but Joseph Osai didn't give the referee a choice. You had to throw the flag. Can you imagine not throwing the flag there? Whoa, Mahomes gets hit out of bounds. That decides the game.
Guy who was already hurt?
We win the game, right? We win the game if
what
he throws that flag.
What about player safety?
It's like it goes both ways. It's not just, oh, the Bengals got screwed. It's if you don't throw that flag, it's, whoa, how do you not throw that? That was a late hit on Mahomes. I don't understand. Well, look at Mahomes. We were in the Super Bowl. He gave the referee no choice. The official had to throw the flag because it was a penalty. It was obvious to everyone. If it wasn't obvious, okay, you can keep the flag in your pocket. But everybody in the world saw that. Doesn't take anything away from the plays earlier in the game where the Bengals got screwed on different calls, because that absolutely happened. But it didn't culminate with this play keeping him out. This is a bad play by Joseph Osai. He knows it. They were all trying to console him after the game. Nobody said the referee made a bad. I can't believe the referee threw that flag. None of the Bengals said that. They're the ones that were wrong, would be wrong the most by it. So when the Bengals are saying, hey, we're trying to go forward, we're trying to protect our guy, it wasn't that one play that did it, they know that's a penalty. That's a penalty any time of the game. That's going to be a penalty anywhere you go. It was easy. It was obvious. It just sucks that it decided the game, but you had to throw it. I don't want to see guys on the free throw line to win a basketball game, but sometimes you got to blow the whistle. LeBron needed to be at the free throw line against the Celtics, right? You didn't want that to happen, but that's because he got fouled. Sometimes you need to overcome the, well, we went. No, you need to be able to throw the flag. You need to call fouls when it becomes obvious, right? You got to do it when there's no other choice, and not doing it is worse than doing it. That's what happened.
Well, I enjoyed to tie Saturday's game with a bow, the fact that you were immediately able to come back and say, yeah, we screwed that up. Like, you don't have someone on the bat phone from New York that could have done that immediately. I mean, because LeBron ran around for a good minute and a half.
Yeah, but didn't they get, like, didn't the Lakers get told, like, right after the game was over, they screwed it up?
No, that's what I mean.
We're not going to wait for the 2-minute report. We're just going to.
No, exactly. It was in the pool reporting right after. But the fact that he doesn't get a technical foul, so, I mean, it negates it.
Excuse me? Technical foul for what?
For jumping around,
for the refs
showing up
the Lakers a game?
For running around like an ass and showing up the referees.
Yeah, you could put that was a pretty good act. You could put him in for best actor for the Academy
Awards. No, it was
pretty
good.
You can put that in there.
But those refs deserve way worse than that.
You could do whatever.
And then he really fought for that next win by sitting out tonight.
Yeah. How about they never work again?
You could.
There you go. I want that guy's badge.
You could do one of those marketing campaigns for LeBron to get put in best actor, like the woman for best actress from the movie that made like $25,000.
Yeah, but evidently she's really good.
Right. But, you know.
But they didn't spend any money,
no,
so people
exactly.
are mocking it.
Yeah, and they just made phone calls. Hey, why don't
if they're nominating Top Gun Maverick, Jason, you can nominate LeBron.
Okay, sure. We put LeBron in there.
You know, Top Gun was the best picture at the AARP Awards for adults that watch movies.
I thought you were going to say the AVN Awards.
How do you?
No. It was actually a thing the other night. It was an award show the other night. I'm not kidding.
So the name of it was Adults That Watch Movies?
AARP.
I didn't know where that was going.
It was Movies for Grownups.
Okay, because usually if you watch the movies, then the awards are for you. If you don't watch the movies, the award show's not
the
for
AARP
you.
The AARP Movies for Movie Grownups Award.
Movie Awards for people who watch movies. There's different movie awards for people who don't watch movies. I just vote for the name I like the most. That's
what I do. Isn't that kind of what these people do anyway?
I don't watch the movies, but I like the name Tom Cruise. It sounds cool. I'll vote for him.
That's kind of the popularity contest that has become. Jermaine Pratt, who did go famous for saying, how do you hit him? He did get in front of the microphone and say, I was a bad teammate. I was emotional. But he wasn't wrong.
No.
Right? I mean, and he said exactly what was on everybody's mind in the moment, whether you liked it to the letter or spirit of the law. If we're going to talk about quarterback protections, you have to call it. Other plays in the moment don't matter. You want to decide to go through everything with the Zapruder film, right? The timeout, the do-over play, where when you do to the all 22, you did have another referee sprinting in to try to stop play, but didn't get there before the snap, so that's why they did it over. Like, all of these things. It goes back to the all-star officiating crew nonsense, where they seem confused and bewildered. But that call was right. You don't have to like it. You don't have to accept it. Proclaim them the champions. Can't you do that? Isn't that what they did in college football a few years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You don't like it. We're the champs. Hang a banner.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. I don't care. I'm sorry, but that was a penalty.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe.
From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball. but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Now, we talked about the Joseph Ossai penalty a few minutes ago and told you that it was a penalty. He gave the referees no choice but to call it. It baffles me because you still hear people saying, you have to know better, you should make better plays, better decisions at that time. And then you heard Ossai actually say after the game, I was trying to get at him and hit him to turn him around so I could push him out of bounds of the clock, which is just a ridiculous answer. When the correct answer is actually much more simple. And that's this.
My bad.
Guys just in the heat of battle, in moments like that, don't make the right decision. Because take yourself into the psychology of what it is to be an NFL player in that type of situation. You are playing in a super turbocharged environment with a berth in the Super Bowl on the line. Right? Every week in the NFL is a big deal, but this is the AFC title game. You had the whole week of Burrowhead. And you've had to watch this game where Patrick Mahomes is limping around, and if you're the Bengals, you sit there and go, boy, every time he makes a big pass, he sure seems to limp a little bit more. And you had to watch him throw for 300 yards on you and potentially win this game. When he's limping, and you should have been able to get to him, you should have been able to put him on the ground more and maybe even knock him out of the game, and you didn't, and it's frustrating, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds. And football is the most emotional of all the sports. So here you have an entire game, 59.5-plus minutes of, boy, he's been beating us. Then you have this play where he's running out of bounds and you're chasing him and you're this close to him and you have a chance to hit him. You know you shouldn't. You know you're not supposed to. You know he's out of bounds. You know you can't do it, but you do it anyway because you lose your place for a second because you're so close to the guy and you've been thinking about hitting him the entire game, and so you do that. And you know right after, I shouldn't have done it. But in the heat of that moment, it happens. And that's what happens to all athletes. Why do any athlete make that hit play? Because that's what happens. They get to the point where they're like, they've been wanting to hit somebody for so long for whatever reason, and then I get there and you hit, and it's, okay, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? Because you lose your head. You lose your head for a second. And that's exactly what happened to Ossai. It's going to continue to happen to players because that's how it goes on. That's how people wind up making hits and making plays they're not supposed to. They know it's wrong, but they can't help themselves.
Yeah, I mean, part of it also comes down to the fact that you got a guy who's carrying, what, 275-ish? They list him at 263. Whatever. 260, 270. That's a lot of man that's hunkering down on Mahomes. And we've seen him, Mahomes, many, many a time cut. And in this situation, with his ankle being an issue, that probably wasn't going to happen. But as soon as you get towards the sideline, it's the, is he going to try to juke back in to steal a couple extra yards to set up a better attempt, or is he saving the clock by getting out of bounds? The latter being the more likely, given the down distance and game situation, timeout situation, and everything else. But, again, it's thinking versus I got to get to the quarterback. And even here, I don't know, if Mahomes starts to pull up, he probably runs him through the back anyway and probably catches enough to where – and we've had plenty of folks on social media, appreciate you, at How About a Fresca, at Swollen Dome, talking about the soccer-like flop of a Patrick Mahomes. Either way, whether he did a good sell job or not, he is, for lack of another option, is he not the face of your league?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's questionable, what's happening? The questionable call's going his way. Sorry.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Chiefs are cheaters.
Hey, man, logic sometimes goes out the window, man.
Coming up next, we have more on the biggest story in the National Football League. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike, Fox, Bengals, yo.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Cameron-Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Suck it up. Get over it. That's what you hear when you tell somebody that you're struggling. But the fact is that mental health issues are more complex than that. If you feel like you're struggling, you're not alone. 1 in 4 of us are dealing with mental health issues at any one time. It's important to be able to talk about these issues without shame and stigma. So if you feel like something isn't quite right, take a mental health screening. Visit mhascreening.org. It's free and confidential.